right, if you want to get your Bibles out tonight. Hey, Mrs. Frediani, I was just praying for you. We're also praying for that, so that's good. Luke chapter number 1 tonight. Get your Bibles out. Shared a little bit of this with our staff this morning, and it's been a thought here. Luke chapter number 1 and verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." So we have a husband and wife team here, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Brother, turn me down just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right. And they were both, the Bible says this, look at this testimony that these two have. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord." And it says this word, look at this next word, "blameless." Man. "And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can open up your word and see the example of this couple. God, much to learn from them. And Lord, I pray that we too would, God, that we would walk in righteousness and that we would obey your commandments and we would live a life of to be blameless. And God, that the testimony of our life around others would point people to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to make application from this passage. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Quite a remarkable couple here. We have Zacharias and Elizabeth. We're told that they are, nice way to say it, well stricken in years. That indicates they're a little bit older than the average young couple. And here they were. It tells us something about her. It tells us something about both of them. But as we draw attention to her, the Bible says in verse 7, "And they had no child." You know, one of the natural courses of events that I think God places innately in people is to have a family and then have children and to go down that course. Now, not everyone gets that privilege and not everyone gets that opportunity. And many a times for reasons we do not know. I don't understand why that happens. I'm not the Lord. I can't make sense of that all. It's not for me to choose or you to choose, right? We don't see that. But in the scriptures, we certainly see people that were barren. And this is not what every couple had hoped for. When Zacharias and Elizabeth had married that day long ago, as they were well stricken in years, maybe they had great plans of this was going to be their family. There they were. He was the either in line to or was already participating in the office of that of the priest. And there they were. They were going to serve God, have a family. They both had, as we were told, a good countenance, a good spirit about them. But had no further family. We see that in the scriptures. We see Sarah. She was barren, and yet the Lord gave her Isaac. We see Rebecca, who was barren, and then the Lord gave her Jacob and Esau. Hannah, remember, she was barren, and what happened? Samuel. And Manoah, in Judges chapter 13, and she has Samson. You know, sometimes as I was looking at the barren women of the scriptures, they not only end up having children, but being people of great faith. And I just wonder if there's a, you know, there was a testing time for them that the Lord used to see, hey, what's really on the inside? You know, we can fake things for a little while, but then when we don't get our way over an extended period of time, that's when real faith shows up, right? And often, I want to say this about dealing with maybe a lack in their life. We would look at that and go, yeah, but they ended up having John the Baptist, right? I mean, these are the parents of John the Baptist. It works out okay. But when you're in the middle of that, you don't know that. When you're in the middle of the wilderness, or when you're in the middle of that barren life, if you will, and say, what does that mean? That means there's something that you feel naturally should have come your way that just is lacking. A lot of times, and I understand the sensitivity of maybe this specific topic, but let's step away from just being not having children. A lot of times when there's something that we feel like that should be in our life that isn't, for some reason that God has withheld, there's an opportunity to get bitter. It's real easy. And often we miss what we have when we focus in on what we do not. And what Zacharias, and I think the Lord gave us this information, didn't have to give us this information. Could have just said there was a couple, and Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they worked inside the temple for many years, and then and they had John the Baptist. And they didn't have to tell us all that. But again, in our life, maybe we evaluate, what is it? It's easy to get just so dialed in onto what isn't. Often you miss what is. And here Zacharias and Elizabeth have a great opportunity. Regularly, they're fulfilling the work of the Lord here. And I want to draw attention to that tonight. That even in the midst of lacking or being barren, they continued on in the work of the Lord. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." He continued what he was supposed to do. I know he couldn't have had this for a life verse. Colossians chapter number 3 wasn't written yet, but the principle was. Colossians chapter number 3. May I encourage you to take this on? Maybe if you're dealing with lack or an area of being barren, hey, don't quit serving the Lord. They continued on, even though she was barren. They continued serving in the Lord. Look at chapter 3 and verse 23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." There's a big difference when we serve for God's glory as opposed to what I want. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, although their life might not have been exactly how they, when they first started down that path of what it was going to end up being at the end, you know what they took most joy in? Service of God. And let's remember that. Let's remember that in our own life. Hey, maybe the job didn't work out how you wanted. Or maybe you've been 25 years in a place and it's just most miserable. But you have an opportunity to still serve the Lord. I encourage you here today. Hey, continue in the work of the Lord. Don't quit. They didn't quit when, life's not going how I wanted. I'm out. Often we link our expectations to God's blessings. God, if I do this for you, this is what I expect from you in return. That's not how we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because he's good and right and true, and he deserves all of our praise and all of our worship and everything that we could possibly do for him. He deserves all of that. May I encourage you to continue in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, great verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Hey, if you wanted to find Zacharias, you know where you'd find him? Doing the work of the priest. That's what he was known for. That's what he would do. He was faithful to that which God had called him. And here, God calls us as Christians, hey, stay faithful to what I've called you to do. Don't waver. Don't leave the post. Don't leave the position. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Zacharias could look at his job and go, "I'm just waving smoke." Literally. Incense. That's what he was in charge of. What is this? God says, that's what it pleases me. And oftentimes we look at our service and sometimes we feel like, what difference does this make if I show up or if I don't? If I'm faithful or if I'm not? God says, hey, the job I've given you to do, be steadfast in that thing. Your labor for me, he says, is not in vain. And we need to remember that as we continue our work for the Lord. Be steadfast. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I really like this verse. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good. No, stick with it. Don't quit. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Keep going. Zacharias, they were, the Bible says, well stricken in years. Where'd you find them? At the church house doing what God has told them to do. Man, what a great testimony. What day do you come in, Mrs. Drolleman? Thursdays? Man, I appreciate that. Mrs. Drolleman comes in, reads with our kids, and we have a lot of volunteers, to which I really appreciate. Our school is able to function at the level that it does because of a lot of volunteers, not only just a great staff, but we have a great support staff. You talk to our staff, they'll acknowledge it. Hey, you want to find Mrs. Drolleman on Thursday afternoons? Come to the church house. Hey, where do I find Zacharias? Doing the office of the priest. Isn't he old? Oh, yeah, he was old. No offense, Mr. Allman. I'm not saying that you're old. But our age ought not to be an indicator whether we can or cannot serve God. Well, I'm well stricken in years, as were they. And they were faithful. And God made a point, and he says, hey, let me tell you about this this couple. They were faithful. They might not have had, life might not have gone exactly how they had thought. But they were faithful to me. God draws our attention to it. Go back to Luke chapter number 1. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in his commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and then blameless. First of all, they were righteous before God. It reminds me of Job chapter number 1. Say, I just got the Luke. I'm sorry. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Hey, there was a guy walking the face of the earth that loved God, loved doing right, and said no to wickedness. And it drew God's attention. Hey, there was a young couple, well, not a young couple. There was a couple way back in Luke chapter number 1 that did righteously. And you know what? It drew God's attention. 1 John chapter 5, or 1 John chapter 3. I encourage you tonight, what is your testimony? Here's a couple that is well stricken in years, as the scripture says. What do we know about them? What color hair do they have? We don't know the color hair. We don't know what their house looked like. We don't know what their chariot looked like. We don't know what, we know what God has told us about them. And their testimony was one that they did righteously before God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, it says this, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So the question is, how does one live righteously? By doing right. Doing right. Hey, what was the testimony, not just at one event, not just at one moment, did both Zacharias and Elizabeth maintain as a explanation of their character? They did right. I feel like when you make a decision or a purpose in your heart, hey, I'm going to do right by God, immediately that test comes. That's going to get proven really quickly. You'll find yourself in a circumstance, in a situation where had you not made that decision before, it would have not been tested. But God maybe, or maybe the other side wants to see really what's going on the inside. And there was a group, there was a couple, and what did they say? They did righteously. You know how often that gets tested? All the time. Because the enemy would want nothing more than to get good, honest, God-loving people out. This was a couple that maintained a righteous life. That means by doing right for years. It's just so hard doing right. No kidding. That's why it's right. If it was right, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Is your testimony one of righteous before God? Yeah, I remember 10 years ago I did this thing. It was really good. Well, that's great. I'm glad. But how about daily? Daily do you make that decision. I'm going to do right. Not only that, look at this. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Not only were they both righteous before God, they walked in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. Walked in all the commandments and ordinances. That's quite the testimony. You know, we read through the fruit of the Spirit and we're happy if one shows up in our life, right? I mean, if I could be loving or just patient, I'd be thrilled. Here it says that they did all of them. Reminds me of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Lord God, or I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. How could Abraham walk before God? By doing what God has told him to do. Our daily life consists of walking with the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 9. David is dying. He's telling, he has passed away. Solomon is now king. And the Lord appears to Solomon again. In 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, this is what the Lord tells Solomon. Hey, you want to be a good king? You want to be successful? You want to do right? It says, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments. That's what God expected of the king. He says, I want you to do like your father did. I want you to walk in my commandments. I want you to do what I have told you to do. You understand that? That's no different for us as Christians. As we follow the shepherd, you know what he wants us to do? What he told us to do. You know what Zechariah and Elizabeth had the testimony of? They did all the commandments and the ordinances. That's quite the testimony. Go back with me to 1 John chapter number 2. This was not your average couple. First John chapter 2. What did they think about God? I'll tell you this, they feared the Lord. How do you know that? I believe they walked in faith. Say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in 1 John 2, 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. They knew God. They feared him, they reverenced him, they worshiped him because of what they did. Their response to their knowledge and their relationship of daily walking with the Lord was one of keeping the commandments and the ordinances. Not the other way around. Because we walk with the Lord, you know what? Because we have a relationship with God, that when we read these things, we take them and we apply them to our life. Because we fear God, we read this book and make application from these things personally, walking in his commandments. I encourage you to have the testimony of Zechariah and Elizabeth, one of righteousness before God. Number two, walking in his commandments. And then thirdly, what else did it say about them? It said this word, that they were blameless. Man. First Thessalonians chapter number 3. Did that mean they were perfect? No, that means what you saw is what you got. There wasn't a secret. There wasn't a different. They were blameless. Not perfect, but blameless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says this, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Would that describe you? Unblameable in holiness. Whew. Those are some lofty goals and aspirations. Is that possible? Well, it said Zacharias and Elizabeth were in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Acts chapter 23. Speaking of Paul, just a couple more verses. Paul says this in Paul, chapter 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Man, that's quite the testimony. You know what Paul just said? I have no regrets. If there was an opportunity and God opened it, I took it. If there was a person to talk to, I talked. If there was a time to preach, I preached. If there was a time to pray, I prayed. If there was a time to study, I studied. I am blameless in my conscience before God. He had awful scars on his back. His body was disfigured, marred by the sufferings of the Lord. But at the end of the night, you understand that he could pillow his head in peace, knowing that he had a clear conscience before God, blameless. That's quite the testimony. Lastly, Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked... We can't blame the world. We can't say, you know, the world is so bad, therefore I can. No. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I know we looked at that this past weekend, on Sunday. But would that be your testimony? Hey, when the world went sour, much like the times of Noah, remember that? There was only 8 people that got on that ark. That tells me when the world went sour, the whole thing went sour with it. Were there not people that cared about the things of God? Oh, they were, but they got pulled in the ways of the world. That crooked world pulled them in. But there were some, there was a few that were harmless and blameless. In the midst of a crooked, we can't change the perverseness of this world. But I can account for myself, and you can account for yourself to be blameless, keeping his commandments. Does that mean you got to be perfect? No. Just be honest with the Lord, though. And righteous. Say, well, I'm just a mess. I can't attain that. Stop saying that and try and do right. That's the answer. Not wallow in your sin and self-pity. No. Go do right. Find out what God wants you to do and do that. Oh, to have the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth. This was an older couple. They dealt with a barren lifestyle. Yet they continued in the work of the Lord and maintained a great testimony while doing it. What a great encouragement to us here tonight. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. How gracious the Lord is with us. Man. This little couple here, they thought this is what they were going to do, and all of a sudden John the Baptist. I don't know if they ever got a chance to hear him preach. They were well stricken in years when they had him. To know that he was the forerunner to the Messiah. And what a powerful thought. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you for your guidance and direction. Lord, help us. Lord, we need your help with it. Lord, we cry out to you for help. Please, Lord. Lord, maybe there's an area where we would consider ourselves barren. God, help us to continue in the work. Lord, help us to do right, daily walking in your commandments. blamelessly. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get a little bit of what Zacharias and Elizabeth had. It would maintain a testimony of love and care of the things that you hold most precious, your ministry, Lord, the gospel. Lord, help us to take that light. Lord, I ask you, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, give us wisdom over the next couple days and keep us safe. Be with those. Again, just thinking of little Richard there, Lord, in the hospital, and Mr. Lawrenson, and God, just those that really just need your hand in their life right now. Mr. D'Amato. Lord, these things are beyond our control, our ability. But Lord, we put them all at your feet. Lord, if you could, just give grace, give strength, give wisdom. Lord, we'll be quick to give you the honor and glory for that. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.